the ups, the downs, and all the in-between. What it takes to become next on scene. Are you next? Follow us at Next on Scene.
Welcome back to Becoming Next on Scene, everybody. It's another awesome week for a new podcast of Becoming Next to Know About. So we are so excited to share an amazing guest we are going to have on today. But in the meantime, I am so excited to share that this coming week is actually my birthday. So I am going to be detoxing from everything this coming Thursday. So if you don't see me on social media or anything, I am shutting off because I am turning a new year of life. So the big 31, I know. So that's what I'll be doing this week. And just really exciting stuff going on for this September. I hope you guys all had a really, really nice long summer. I know for all the parents, going back to school is a big adjustment for the kiddos. And as they get older, time goes by so fast, but all really good things. Also want to thank everybody so much for the feedback on the podcast I did last week with perseverance and how important it is to not give up on something you're passionate about, no matter what comes your way. And I think that our guest today can totally speak to that. She is just truly amazing and inspiring. Elizabeth Yang is with the Better With Company, and she is a social growth and customer experience expert. She recently made the leap of leaving the corporate world to start her own business. And she is so good at sharing the areas of expertise in leadership, brand and authenticity, customer experience blueprint, inclusive leadership terms and builder mindset, and strategic relationships and networking. So I have to tell you that Elizabeth and I have met one-on-one a few times. She is a ball of light. She is just such an amazing person to be around. Her energy is awesome, but she also gives incredible insight and tips of really how to restructure your business and get yourself out there. So we are so excited to share some amazing, amazing insight of how she got to where she is, some tips with our audience from an education piece of really how to get your brand out there, and also some great marketing insight and tips as well, because, you know, we love that here at Becoming Next on Scene, because we're all about how to get yourself to become next to know about. And we're also going to play some game time. So really good stuff. So excited to have her on. So stay tuned for the amazing Elizabeth Yang. All right, everybody. I officially have the amazing speaker, presenter, trainer, and coach Elizabeth Yang on the line. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you today?
Hi, Jackie. I'm doing very well. I'm so excited to be here.
So excited to have you. You are such an inspiration. Before, you know, all my guests come on, I just talk about how awesome you are and like all the great things you're doing. So I'm really excited for my audience to get to know you. So tell me, you know, obviously you come from a very massive corporate background. So what really inspired you to take the leap from corporate to starting your own business?
Well, you know, I became an entrepreneur by accident. And it was like the perfect storm. I became an entrepreneur because two big things happened. These were like the turning points. And, you know, when I reflect back on it, it just happens. Everything happens for a reason, right? The first one was really around, it was all around the same time. I actually had a founder of a startup company in Chicago. She messaged me on LinkedIn and she's like, Elizabeth, I'm really desperate with where I'm at right now in my business. And I'm going through everybody that I know on LinkedIn. And based on your background, I really think that you could help me. Could you jump on a call? And how can I turn someone away when they say they're really desperate, right? If there's something that they think that I could help them with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I jump on a call with her. And as I'm listening to the challenges they had, which was really around how do I pivot our startup company, our offering to land a private corporate enterprise client. And so as I'm listening to her, I'm listening to that inner voice, and it's saying, you know what, Elizabeth, I think you can help her. And so that's really what started my own business. In that moment, I realized that I could really make a difference with all this experience that I had built throughout my whole corporate career. And after working with me, they landed their first corporate client in 6 months.
That's amazing. So, like, unintentionally, that's awesome. I didn't even know that story. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's when I realized, wow, you know, Elizabeth, you could really make a difference working with entrepreneurs and working with startup companies with your background. And that was really the start of how I started my own business. And that was the journey, right? And right around the same time, too, Jackie, you know, I like to tell and share this story because this was so instrumental for me personally as, you know, a mom and a breadwinner for my family. Around the same time, I also, you know, got laid off and rehired all on the same day. And it was in that moment that I realized, like, wow, Elizabeth, you know, things like this can happen. And what are you going to do? Who can you bet on? You've got to bet on yourself. And that's really why I started to realize, like, wow, I need to focus on my business and starting this as a side hustle.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So it happened totally unintentionally, but you made a difference with somebody you didn't even intend to do at that. I mean, obviously you wanted to help them, but you didn't know, like, the whole end process of that, right? How fast it would turn over.
No, I didn't. And, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, in serendipity, that people cross paths for a reason, right? And
totally.
I just wanted to serve. And I loved my corporate job. I loved what I was doing, which was, you know, product development and customer experience. And, you know, when someone reached out and said, hey, Elizabeth, I think you could help, how could I turn that away, right? The least thing I could do was just jump on a call and see how I could help. And it was really in listening for that ask that I realized, you know, I'm here to serve. And if I could really help make a difference for, you know, her business and help her grow her business, I'm going to dive in and help, right? And that's really what happened.
So awesome. So my follow-up question to that is, like, now that you've kind of been on your own for a little bit, what do you feel like that one girl that reached out to you that needed your help, what is that missing piece that you feel more and more, you know, business owners need that you have found this niche to fill? Can you break a little bit down of, like, your specialty as now, like, a business owner?
Yeah, I think that there are three common mistakes that I'm seeing many ambitious entrepreneurs make. The first one is not owning their leadership, just really not seeing themselves in the lens of a leader. They either see themselves as just a business owner, and that's about it. And the challenge with, you know, just seeing yourself not as a leader is that you have to realize that when you're growing and building a business and you're trying to attract the right customers and the right people to help you build your business, you have to lead yourself first. You have to have the courage to really step into your strengths and figure out, how do I lead myself? Because if you're not able to do that, you're not able to articulate your vision. And if you're not able to articulate your vision and what needs to get done, you can't communicate that to other people to come on board with you.
So true.
And that's often a challenge that I'm seeing a lot with entrepreneurs is, you know, they're seeing and they're running their business, but they're not seeing themselves like, wow, I'm a leader. I cast a shadow regardless if I own it or not, right? And I'm saying, you know what? You are the face of your company. People do business with you. People want to buy from you. So you have to focus on what I call your leadership brand and really own that. That's the first mistake that I often see entrepreneurs make.
I mean, it's a huge one.
And then the second,
huge one.
No, it is a huge one. And
yeah.
It starts with you, right?
Right.
You are the brand of your business.
Right.
And the second one that I often see is I see a lot of entrepreneurs really slapping together different solutions in silos. So they're like, oh, what's happening? Shiny object here in marketing. Let's do that. Oh, let's now do social media. Oh, search engine optimization. Let's do that. Oh, I need to do this over here. I need to do sales. Oh, let's do that. And they're like chasing whatever is the latest shiny object. And I'm coming to the table and saying, look, I want you to take a long-term view of your business. I want you to really take a step back, zoom out, and stop with the shiny object syndrome. Stop with, you know, these silo solutions that aren't working for you. And let's take a step back and let's focus on, how do you build a profitable business that is about the customer first?
Right.
You know, I often say that you have to fall in love with their problem, not your product or your solution, because customers buy on emotions. They don't necessarily buy your solution because you want them to. They buy it based on emotion. So you have to put yourself in the shoes of the customer, take a long you look at your business and say, how do I build confidence in my machine or my engine, which is all of that marketing, social media, and operations for my business, and figure out how does it work end to end? What does my funnel look like through the lens of the customer experience?
Right. And I love your analogy too of like, they're all these shiny objects, because at the time they do feel like they're the must have item that you have to do at that moment. Love that analogy.
Yeah, you'll be surprised. I mean, I talk to so many different entrepreneurs who, let's say, are focused on social media. I need to do social media. I need to do social media. And then when I take a step back and I say, well, who's your ideal customer? Right. Or what is your conversion starting to look like? How do you know that your funnel is really working for you based on who your targeted audience is? Or do you even have confidence that, you know, your funnel is working 100% in your favor? And it's really when we dig deep that they're like, I don't really know. I just know that everyone's saying do Facebook Live, so I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
Right.
And I'm saying, let's take a step back. You wouldn't build a house, right, without a blueprint. Why would you build your business without a customer experience blueprint?
Right.
That has to be your vision of what is my business and what is my ideal customer's experience from start to finish look like, and then you build your business around that. And that's really where you start to really then gain more confidence and more visibility that everything is working like it should from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Completely makes so much sense. And then, of course, you also have inclusive leadership teams and builder mindset too, right?
Yeah, that's really key. The third common mistake that I often see entrepreneurs make is they get very tactical, right? They're like focused on how to do something, like how to do social media, or how to build an online course. And then when they think about networking or people, they often think of networking events as the way to go and prospect and get clients. So they're selling, or they're thinking about, you know, what or who can do this for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the common mistake that I often see is that, you know, entrepreneurs often underleverage their social network to get to that next financial milestone, whether it's your next 10K, 100K, or a million.
Mm-hmm.
And they often undervalue the power of their social network. And so one of the things that inclusive leadership and the builder mindset that I often teach my students and clients is that, hey, your social network, your strategic key relationships, you need to have a plan around that. That's got to be as critical to your business as your marketing plan, as your finance plan, as your business plan, because everything that you're going to need to know to get to that next financial milestone, get there faster, is going to be through your people network.
Right.
So let's take a step back. Let's break down your goals and let's brainstorm and figure out, like, who are the people that you need in your network? What are their strengths? And how do we break that down so that it helps catapult you to that next milestone in your business? And that's the big part, is that most people just go to these networking events as a way to exchange business cards, and they're not thinking about how do I nurture and invest in these key strategic relationships.
Right. Such a good point. And then even to follow up from like your personal journey and experience, you know, starting your own business, what is something that you felt out of those four areas was something that you struggled with personally the most?
So, you know, when I first started my business, I, again, came through corporate, right? So I have always been really business-focused in mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And the common mistake that I made when I started working with entrepreneurs and when they reached out and said, hey, Elizabeth, I want to, you know, hire you to help me with customer experience blueprints. Let's do this strategy session where we map out, you know, what the ideal customer journey looks like, and then, you know, plan our marketing and social media and people and tools, like the whole funnel, right? It's like one big day. And we build out this roadmap and massive action plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be, that's it. Like, they would just hire me on as a consultant and coach, and we would go in and do the deep work and the strategy session. And that's when I realized that that was actually a mistake, was that I couldn't actually do that if I did not first take a moment to address their leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I started focusing on leadership as really a contingency or a first step before we stepped into that customer experience blueprint strategy session. Because I realized that when I started just focusing on all of that strategy planning around the business and not the leadership, not what is your talent and strength, not who are the people that you need to surround yourself with to go to that next mile for you, then oftentimes in those sessions, they would feel overwhelmed, or there would be almost an indecisiveness about making decisions for their business. And so when I started to see this, I was like, wow, I need to take a step back and really help them see their strengths, which is the build your mindset, see the power of their social network, whether they need to build it or work on it or nurture it, or maybe they already have a great social network and plan in place, and really help them see that you have to lead yourself first.
Totally.
And once I started adding that leadership coaching session piece into it before we did like the all-day strategy planning, I started to see them just much more enthusiastic and much more eager and excited about the decisions that were happening, because they're like, wow, you know, this is amazing, right? Like, I had one client when I did the leadership strategy session with her before we did our blueprint session, she was like really excited. She's like, wow, I can 3x my revenue, and that vision doesn't feel scary, mm-hmm. right? And so she really just started to realize this is much more tangible and feasible than I thought it was going to. And so then when we stepped into that, you know, blueprint session, she could move forward with making decisions and getting excited about the possibility of where her business was going so that she could grow it by 3x. And so that was like my biggest aha moment and learning was like, wow, you really have to own your leadership. If you don't, making decisions to move your business forward to grow profitably, it's going to be really challenging for some entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. I have to tell you, when I first started, I feel like that was something that I totally struggled with too, because I feel like you're so vulnerable in that state when you first launch your business that you're just trying to get business and not focusing on anything else, but like trying to seek out customers that you think you want to work with, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And when you're in that moment of just starting out, you're just in that hustle of grinding and saying, wow, I need to like sell this, or I need to get this out the door. I need to like get X number of clients. I need to, you know, get that income rolling in through the door, right? And so you're just in this frantic hustle mode, right? And the way that people experience you, you know, in that mode, I don't think that's what most entrepreneurs want, you know, other people to experience them, right?
It's
and
true.
I often say that like your leadership is like, it's like your attraction formula, mm-hmm. right? When you own your leadership and you're like, this is what I'm really good at, and you show up and people are just drawn to you because you bring high energy, you bring passion into what you do, you are coming from a place of service. I mean, people just experience you so much more differently, and they want to work with you. Let's be real. I mean, people want to work with other people that make them feel good.
Exactly.
You know, a partnership or clients or, you know, just professional relationships, right? And so I think oftentimes we forget that as an entrepreneur, but you got to remember, like, you know, what you attract is usually a reflection of where you're at with your business, right?
It's so true. I love that. I love your analogies today, Elizabeth, but like, it's true. It's like when you're so confident and know what you're showing up and know how you're showing up and know your specialty and not giving a million different messages, it just, everything is much more clear. Like, you attract the right audience, everything feels more aligned. So I love that.
Yeah, I mean, the ideal client piece is really key, and that has to do with the social network plan and just making sure that you're surrounding yourself with the right people. Is that, I mean, I had clients that were working with clients they wouldn't fire, but they would jump on a call with their client and they would just dread it, right? Mm-hmm. But they felt like they had to keep that client to keep the income coming in. And I often would challenge them and say, well, you know, you're jumping on this call to work with this client. This client drains your energy. You're often frustrated, right, after working with this client. And then now you're off to that networking event to find new clients and to find other prospects. How do you think you're showing up?
Right.
What does your energy start to look like, right? And oftentimes that's like the key piece. I mean, it's all about the law of attraction. But when you're showing up, you know, confident and in the right energy because you're working with the right clients, you then will attract more of the right clients and the right people to partner with.
It's so true. It's so, so true. I love all of this. So tell us about your current offerings. Let's inform our audience about like the Better With Company and tell us everything.
Well, one of the things that I'm really committed to is really helping ambitious entrepreneurs build a profitable business that is customer first. I know it sounds like common sense, but I'm finding that many entrepreneurs, when they start their path or their business, they have the best intentions of building a product or offering that is really about service, mm-hmm. right? Serving a certain audience. And then somewhere along the way, it becomes the hustle and the bustle and the grind. And, you know, many leading brands and companies around the world are focused on customer experience because they know that once you attract the right customers, and you take care of them and you attract them, you know, this is all about customer retention, that your business grows because then you're able to hear what they're saying, mm-hmm. understand what their needs are, and can begin to build new products and services. So the way that a person could work with me is, you know, bring me on as, you know, let's do a customer experience blueprint. One of the things that I do is I do market research on, you know, your ideal customer client, and I bring that into the strategy session. And so when they book a blueprint with me, we do the leadership inclusive builder mindset work of what are your top talents? Let's map out your social network. Let's look at your financial projections. There's a framework that I often teach in my students is what are the 5 bold moves to help you get your vision? Let's spend some time there, right? And we do all of that prep work and deep work. And then we step into, you know, the VIP customer experience blueprint session. And even in that session, because I'm such a big believer that you need to have your people and your tribe with you, I invite you to invite your team or invite your biggest cheerleader or your spouse or whoever that is going to help you continue to grow your vision and your business into that working session. Because the more that we can get your people in that session who is going to help you carry that torch after you and I are working together, your odds of success increase. And so we spend a good full day of really walking through the market research and then focusing on really new offerings. And then I'm committed to making sure that my clients walk away with, you know, a marketing plan that looks at their social media, their content, the tools and systems that they need, what does their operations look like, and the massive action plan. So then it's basically like planning for the whole year, right?
Totally.
And then depending on my clients, they may say, hey, could you train the trainer, right? And I call that round one training, which is, hey, we did all this amazing work. Could you train my team? Because I'm really busy. And then I go in and I train them on whether, you know, all that work that we've done, what does that look like for, you know, your content writer or your designer or your marketing person, so that it really becomes a cohesive strategy for your business and that all the right people are on board to help you execute on it successfully.
I love it. Absolutely love it. I mean, you are like full service. You do a little bit of everything. So what on average though, does an average client work with you for? Does it depend on average, like how long would a company or a, you know, client work with you for? Like how many months? Is it like a 6 month? Is it a 3 month? Is it a year? What do you normally, you know, suggest?
So usually my goal, because I know that my ideal clients are often really busy and they're like in the hustle of getting things done, is my goal is to get them in less than 30 days.
That's right? Amazing. So, love it.
Yeah. Because, and, you know, I mean, I move as quickly as, you know, the client and their team, right? And
totally.
I mean, oftentimes the challenges and schedules, right? But assuming that isn't an issue, I make sure that within less than 30 days, we do the market research, we do the leadership coaching session, we map out your team's strengths, then we do the blueprint strategy session so that you're going into, you know, the next quarter with a really big breakdown of what does my vision look like? How does my marketing, content, social media, and operations need to look like? And then, you know, we do a debrief after that session to say, okay, here are some of the big aha moments and big findings for your action plan to come out with. And then, you know, let's move forward and figure out who on your team do we need to train, right? And get up
right.
as quickly as possible. So for me, this is all about acceleration. You know, I don't sugarcoat the hard work that needs to go into building a business. I just make it easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be able to take your vision and break it down and really be that partner to say, let's think about this cohesive strategy end to end. What is your the start and the end of your funnel look like? And let's map that back to what your customer's journey is when they come across your product and service. And let's get your team up as quickly as possible, because that's really when you start, you know, bringing in the money, right, is when you actually execute, right?
It's so, and so true.
In less than 30 days is my goal.
So I have a random question to ask you. So, you know, when you get these suggestions from people that they're like, you should come up with a name of who your ideal client is, where they like to go, what they like to do. Do you believe in that theory?
I do. I mean, a big part of what I do with market research, like I just worked with a client, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. And everyone's heard of personas or avatars, and
totally.
If you don't know what that is, it's just basically like your fictional ideal customer, right? And I've done a lot of market research. I mean, in corporate America, you know, we did this many times, because what it is really just an 80% blend of your ideal customers, right? And so I was working with a client who, you know, said to me, I've done these personas or avatars by myself so many times, right? But the persona that I brought in front of her when we did our VIP blueprint session, she was like, this is so good. I have never been able to come up with this before. And the reason why is because when I do market research and I interview your ideal customers, because we want more of who you love, right? Your ideal customers,
mm-hmm.
is that I'm a third party. So they're more willing to be honest and transparent with me, whereas if you're an entrepreneur and you're asking for direct feedback, most people just want to be nice, right?
And not hurt your feelings, or totally.
Yeah, and not hurt your feelings, right? And I've had experience doing market research interviews. So, you know, I interview your ideal customer clients, the good, bad, and ugly, and I promise them confidentiality, because at the end of the day, what's most important for you as an entrepreneur is that you're getting, you know, a 360 feedback on how they experience you, from your business to your service to your product. And and so we put together this amazing persona, and, you know, I called her the chief household marketer, because the ideal persona was the mamapreneur with a side hustle, but she was running her household, right? I mean, this is for this client, this is her ideal customer. And it does wonders, because when you really take a moment to really step into the shoes of your ideal customers, like what she's thinking, what she's feeling, and really pay attention to what the steps she's taking, that's really when you get clues to what your funnel needs to look like. You get clues into the content that you need to deliver at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, in this situation, you know, the ideal customer was this mamapreneur who was a stay-at-home mom, but she was like prepping her house for Airbnb, and they were basically renting that out because she wanted to find another way to make money so that her family and her husband and her family could go on vacation. And so oftentimes one of the big critical moments was she needed, in order to buy this service, she needed her husband to buy in. Right. And so we did a lot of work around, you know, that common sales objection. Let me talk to my husband first,
mm-hmm.
and really said, OK, what is the information? What's really going on when she's bringing that up? And one of the things that came up was how nervous she is that the solution is going to work. So it's not even so much that her husband's going to say no to her. It's more of she's not even really sure that the solution is going to work for her.
Right.
And so how might this entrepreneur give her the talking points to build her confidence that this could work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what these fictitious personas can do, is it really allows you, you know, if you do it right, to really wear and walk in their shoes, to really start to identify what are their pain points and what you can do in terms of content and marketing and social media to ease that as part of that process.
Right? I love it. Love it,
yeah,
so much. I think
it is,
I feel like it also makes, like, this, like you're saying, it just makes the selling process so much easier, because you can picture this person. It's like a visualization almost, right?
Yeah. And I often say that the truth is, when it comes to business, it doesn't matter, Jackie, like what your opinion is or what my opinion is or who the CEO or founders of the company's opinion is. The only opinion that matters is the customer's. Right, wrong, or indifferent, their perspective is the version of truth that you need to go by.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to decide what that truth is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you and I think, right?
It's true.
So why not let your customer's perspective guide you in how to build your funnel? Mm-hmm. And that's really what I do, is really help map that sales funnel so that you really are showing up and meeting your ideal customer where he's at versus you trying to push them to where you want them to go.
Right. Great insight, Elizabeth. Love it so much. Okay, so how can people, before we play game time, how can people reach out to you?
Well, I invite anybody who's interested to learn more. Like, I just love meeting people and learning more about what people do. I'm so passionate about helping other people fund their dreams and pursue their ambitions that I invite anybody who's interested to book a call with me. They can reach me at talkwithelizabeth.com, and it's just a free strategy session that I offer because it's just a great opportunity for us to figure out if it's a good fit, you know, on behalf of people who are interested as well as on my end as well. And so I invite anybody who's interested to go on talkwithelizabeth.com and book a free strategy call with me.
I couldn't recommend it more, audience. Elizabeth is amazing. Really, really good stuff. I feel like when we had our strategy session, like when we met up, you just gave me some great, great insight. I loved it so much.
Yeah, I would have to say that one of my superpowers is definitely connecting the dots with people and great ideas. And I really loved a lot of the work that you were doing. And so, you know, I mean, that probably explains why in corporate, my background was in product innovation. But I just really love it. I really love adding to the fire that you've already started and really helping people to really get to that next level for their business. You know,
right.
I just have so much fun. And that, and I really do take that to heart, and I feel really honored when I work with my clients to be a part of their journey.
Mm-hmm. Such good stuff. Okay, so also tell everybody, too, how they can follow you on social media.
What was that?
How can everybody follow you on social media?
So they can find me on Facebook at Elizabeth Yang. Just go ahead and Facebook me Elizabeth Yang or Real Talk Elizabeth on Instagram.
Awesome. Okay, let's play some game time. Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay, good. There's no like requirement or deadline. You're not going to get yelled at. This is a fun way for all of us to get to know you, okay? All right, so what is Elizabeth's TV guilty pleasure?
I love Law and Order SVU, the Special Victims Unit.
Oh, SVU. You mean, yeah. I love SVU. SVU. I love SUV. I'm going to use that from now on, by the way.
Yeah, that rolls off your tongue now, SUV. I have a minivan and SUVs as a mom, so that does happen.
I love it.
But no, I love shows that are one and done, where you watch one episode and there's like a start and a finish. So that is my guilty TV pleasure.
I love it. And I feel like each one, they all feel so real when you're watching them, even if they're made up, right? It's just crazy.
So they're based on some truth, I think.
No, some are definitely true, but I feel like the ones that aren't feel so real, you know? Just my opinion. Okay, next question. What is Elizabeth's favorite food?
My favorite food is sushi. I love anything that has to do with raw fish in Japanese.
Okay, so what is your go-to sushi?
Can't go wrong with a spicy tuna hand roll.
Love
that spicy mayo sauce.
The spicy mayo is definitely my jam too. I love that stuff. Good call. And I like the hand rolls too, because they're bigger and you don't feel like you're eating like, you know, smaller pieces too.
Yeah. And I think there's something, I don't know, healthy about it, because it's not like deep fried or processed, right? It's like,
good point,
rice with with raw fish.
Yeah, I like your outlook. Okay, what is Elizabeth's favorite music of choice as of today?
I love R&B and hip hop. I really love anything that has a really fun beat. I also love country, because I think country music is one of those genres that just has amazing lyrics and songs behind it.
Totally.
That you can't find anywhere else. So I love music that just makes me want to dance, move. And then I also love music that have really great lyrics that just tell a really
awesome
story.
To how you're feeling. Totally agree with you. Okay, so name one song from each of those two genres that you said that you're like jamming out to these days.
Oh, goodness. So that's a tough one because like just this morning I went to go work out and it was just like one of those like moments where you're just like jamming to old school songs. So I have to admit, like I was jamming out to like this morning, like Whitney Houston's like Dance With Somebody.
Right? Love that song too. Love that song.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like one of those songs that you were just like, oh yes. And you're like on the treadmill, like trying to run and you're like wanting to like, I don't think, but I can lip sing.
Right.
And so like getting it makes time go by faster. So that's top of mind for me today. And I love like Latin music, anything that sort of makes you want to move. And so those are my go-to songs. And especially when I'm working out that I often listen to.
I get that. Totally get that. I love Whitney Houston. That's one of my favorite songs too. So totally can attest that that's a great song of choice. Okay, what is Elizabeth's favorite destination you have visited so far?
I would say that Hawaii. My husband and my kids, we went there last year, and we just fell in love with Hawaii. And my daughter at the time was 8, and she's like, I'm going to move to Hawaii. She was just like, I'm going to live in Hawaii. I want to come to school in Hawaii. And we just had a really magical time there. So I would say that's probably like the latest favorite destination. We often try to go to different places, especially different countries. A little challenging now that my kids are 11 and 9 and they have school, but hopefully we can do more of that. But I would say Hawaii for now.
Amazing. I keep hearing great things about that. That's on my bucket list. So what is a bucket list place for you that you haven't been yet?
I have been wanting to go to Thailand. I haven't been able to get to Thailand and Italy. And so I'm hoping that in the next couple of years when my kids are a little older, that we're going to be able to do, you know, a trip to like Europe and check out Italy and Greece and then swing by Thailand as well. I know it's, you know, it's all on that side of the world, but those are some of the bucket list places to go. I work very well. I'm super productive when it's like a sandy beach. So I love being in tropical places, and I know it's like people go there to relax, but I go there. I am the most productive ever when I'm in a very tropical place. So I imagine like during the summer, like going there with my husband and the kids, and then like I'm working while they're like by the beach because that's when I feel most productive.
I get that.
Like I'm playing in it, you know?
Right.
So those are my ideal destinations.
Love them. Love the choices. And if you won, final question, if you won $1 million tomorrow, what would be the first thing you would do with it?
If I won $1 million, I want to be able, I know this is going to sound like a cliche, but I love making people happy. I love funding people's dreams. So if I won $1 million, I would do something really crazy, like offer to pay off like someone's like school loan or something that's not related to me, like a complete stranger.
I love that.
I believe that it's like, yeah, you got to pay it forward, you know?
It's true.
You got to pay it forward. And if I could do that where I won $1 million and just been like, hey, random stranger, let me help you pay off your school loan as long as it's not, you know, over $1 million.
Right.
That's what I would do, you know? And then, yeah, and then I would probably splurge a little bit, you know, with, like, taking the kids on, like, a cruise and things like that. But that's what I would do. I really do believe in paying it forward. And I think that by doing that, you really – I call it planting the seeds of possibility. And hopefully, you know, by doing something like that, I can really pay it forward and help someone else kind of, you know, just – overcome some of the hurdles that they might be.
I absolutely love that. I feel like I've asked this question a lot and nobody's ever said that. So that's a very different take on it. I really like that a lot. That's awesome.
You know, that's actually one of the things that I do, Jackie, when I'm having one of those really crappy days where I'm like, how can I just turn my day around? How can I just turn my karma around for this day? And I'll go into a coffee shop and I'll say, here is like $5 or $10 down. I'm buying the next stranger's coffee.
That's amazing.
And I just do it because I'm like, you know, I'm having a crappy day. Let me make someone else's day better. And hopefully, like the universe will pay it forward, right? And let me just tell you, like, after I've done that, I've had, like, the most amazing conversation and met, like, just random strangers with such fascinating backgrounds. They're like, thank you for buying my coffee. This just made my day. And just little things like that. And that just makes me feel really good. So I really do believe in paying it forward. And so, yeah, I would definitely advise that if you're having a really crappy day, buy a stranger a complete coffee and just know that you're paying it forward. And you'll be surprised at how that turns your day around, too.
Oh, my God. I love it. What a high note to end this podcast on. You are amazing. So the final question we didn't ask, which I think you kind of said earlier in the podcast, but what was your becoming next on scene moment when you were like, I have totally done the right thing by starting my business. This is somebody that I've truly impacted.
I think when I see my clients get their results, I think the first client, as I mentioned, when I became an accidental entrepreneur, her and her co-founder were able to sell their offering and land that first corporate client. I was like, wow, that impact was so much more meaningful than all of my other successes and achievements in corporate, right? Mm-hmm. And that was when I was like, wow, this is really where I could help make a difference. And you know, so when I think about, like I said before, you know, when I think about the clients that I work with, I do want to work with the right clients because I believe that it's an exchange of energy, right? And so every client I take on, I just feel really honored to be part of their journey. And so for me, it's about accelerating them because if I can serve them and help them get to the next level in their business, I feel like it pays it forward for myself. And so it's really, you know, that was like my biggest aha moment. And every client I've worked with since then, I've just been so passionate about. And so that was my big, like, next on the scene was like, wow, I love making my clients look like rock stars. I get up, you know, it just feels great to do that.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, so you are amazing. Thank you so much for coming on today. It was so inspirational to have you. First of all,
thank you, Jackie, for having me.
Of course. And then our my second thing is, can you just repeat again how people can get in touch with you and your social media links?
Sure. If you'd like to get in touch with me, just go on talkwithelizabeth.com to book a free strategy call. Let's just connect. And I'm on Facebook. So just go ahead and look for Elizabeth Yang.
Amazing. So everybody definitely reach out to Elizabeth. She is game changing to your business. Definitely do not miss out on this opportunity. Thank you again, Elizabeth. You're so awesome. And everybody stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.
The ups, the downs, and all the in-between. What it takes to become next on scene. Are you next? Follow us at Next on Scene.